Hey, buddy, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian. Second show of the week. This seems to be a trend now. Let's see how long we can keep it going with two shows. With me, as always, is the wet to my willy, Rich Stambolian.
Wow, I put this dirty finger in your ear, bud.
Yeah, man. Is that a thing anymore? Are noogies and wet willies still a thing?
You know,
we were weird in the 90s.
My brother is 13 years older than me, and maybe once a year, either he or I will give each other a wet willy.
Just to do it.
To have a giggle. Just to have a giggle.
I do it to Deacon all the time. I constantly give Deacon wet willies. You know what? I got to tell you, there should be a documentary on weird middle school 90s bullying with noogies. Early 90s bullying with noogies, wet willies, and wedgies.
Indian burns?
Yeah. That was a thing. Is that, do you call it that anymore? Who knows?
Why not?
I don't know. Do you call it that? I mean, what a weird thing. Like, you're grabbing someone's skin, you're doing this thing to it. Bizarre.
Also, did you I grew up with a lot of Korean kids in my neighborhood, and there used to be the slap the wrist thing.
The slap the wrist game, yeah.
Like the two fingers?
Yeah.
That was always a bitch because somebody would always like do the big wind up and like knock you out for like the rest of the day. You're like, oh, my head hurts.
Very Korean. I grew up in a very Korean neighborhood. Kai Bai Bo. Did you play Kai Bai Bo?
Oh, 100%. I think I still have those beads somewhere.
No. That's not Kai Bai Bo. Kai Bai Bo was Rock, Scissors, Paper. You're talking about this thing, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure
that's welcome to Flushing Men, where we talk about the culture in Flushing, Queens. I'm Andrew Zarian. Second show of the week, as I said. Of course, Rich is with me. A lot of wrestling still continuing. The WrestleMania breakdown. Things we haven't stopped with wrestling yet. I think that is there wrestling every day now? Saturday would be the first day without any major wrestling.
Maybe there's something going on Saturday. Isn't there like some kind of TNA like Hard Justice or Long Justice pay-per-view or some shit?
Long Hardcore Justice live on pay-per-view. Presented by DirecTV. No, I think Saturday would be the first day, but there's a ton of wrestling. And, you know, I got to tell you, for the most part, it's been positive. Tuesday, we did a show on Tuesday because we just wanted to do the fallout of the Raw after WrestleMania because it's such a big event. And it was a non-event, which was extremely disappointing. I don't know how you felt about that.
We talked about it on Tuesday, but that Monday, I think we established it was a dud.
Big time.
And we got to move on. I honestly think Friday night SmackDown, tomorrow SmackDown, I have a feeling it's going to be rocking, dude. I kind of have a feeling like it's going to be challenge upon challenge upon challenge. You're getting Bianca Belair, first night as women's champion. You're getting, on her brand, you're getting the Roman fallout, Edge, Daniel Bryan. I kind of feel like Roddy's going to show up after last night's NXT, and I kind of feel like somebody else is going to show up too. I don't know about a major surprise, but I feel like it's going to be like a tight show.
Yeah, man. It's interesting to me. The whole concept of what they're doing is interesting. I do agree with you. I think Friday we're going to have a much better show than we had on Monday, and that'll be the conversation all on Friday night and Saturday morning about how they put on this much better product, and it's quite obvious now that the A show is SmackDown. I mean, we know that the A show is SmackDown at this point, right? You got Roman Reigns there. So wherever he is, that's the show. But, this may be the first real definitive moment where we're like, you know what? Raw is the crappy show now.
You know, it's tough. I feel like the more people engage in streaming media and social media and just the consumption of a product, I feel like a Monday night just gets rougher and rougher and rougher. Where I think a 2-hour Friday night show is way more palpable and digestible, you know?
Yeah, big time. I hate to watch it on Friday. And by the way, we don't know what these SmackDown ratings are really going to look like when things are opened more up. You know, SmackDown in 2019 just went over to Fox, and they only had a couple months of this. So, and it was during the height of WrestleMania season. So these ratings that we're seeing for SmackDown, I don't know if it's going to improve when things open up more or it's going to decrease. Generally, Friday nights are not a phenomenal night to have your product on because people are not home. Kids are not home. People go out on Friday nights, you know. So I'm curious to see how that changes. But I agree with you. SmackDown will probably be the better show here. But we did have two really good shows. We had NXT and we had AEW this week.
Oh, yeah.
NXT was a little slower than I expected it to be. Mm-hmm. Coming off of those two amazing nights. I mean, it was going to be slower. You can't keep up, you know, what they did last week. But unopposed Tuesday night, Rich, how do you think they did?
I think they did pretty good. I saw the number, and I believe it was over 800,000. And I want to say it was their biggest show since Halloween Havoc. Am I right about that?
Well, you're not counting last week's show.
Right. I'm not counting last week's show because that was like kind of like the
pay-per-view.
Like the pay-per-view style, right? Yeah. And the Peacock transition and all that stuff. But I really, it was cool. It was cool to have NXT on a Tuesday. I watched like an hour and then I did other stuff and then I caught up like the next day. You know, like I felt more just by doing, because we have to do this show, I felt like it's more of an ease on my viewing nerves that we got Monday. Great. We can tune in and out of this Monday night stuff. Tuesday, awesome, great, more palpable. And then Wednesday, great, we can watch AEW. And then Thursday morning, we can do this. And I feel like it's just a little easier. I found myself paying more attention to NXT this week, to be honest with you.
Interesting, because it was unopposed. You know, it's so much easier. Yeah. And, you know, it. I got to tell you, Wednesday nights, I tend to lean to, my live watching, I tend to lead to AEW, and then I watch NXT in the morning, generally. This was good to be able to watch both, you know, live, which I enjoyed. I thought it was a decent show. The show began with Karrion Kross with a promo with Scarlett. I thought Karrion did great. What do you think of Scarlett's really aggressive facial reactions? Do you think she needs to pull that back a little bit?
I like it because it makes her it
bonkers.
It's bonkers. It reminds me of two things. Like, all right, Karrion Kross and Scarlett have strong Lita and Edge vibes for me.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like they have that it factor as a couple on TV with the heavy and the heel. You know, like Lita was such a great heel manager or heel valet or whatever you want to call her. And I think Scarlett brings the same to the table. They're married. They have such chemistry together. She also reminded me of, you ever see that Saturday Night Live bit with Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig? The Vincent Price show.
Yeah.
Where Kristen, I forgot the name of the actress, but Kristen Wiig does this character that it's just all gnarly facial expressions. And that's what Scarlett kind of reminds me of.
The, not the occult, the, what is it called? The,
what do you mean?
Like the witchery, not the occult. It's the, God.
She's like arcane.
I don't know. I can't remember. God, I lost the word. But the facial reactions are so nutty, and he's like cutting this really good promo. I was like, I think it took it away a little bit from me if I'm going to nitpick it, but it wasn't it was really good. Kross put Balor over as one of the greatest of all time. And, Kross also put out a challenge to anyone who wants to step up. I thought it was a good beginning of the Karrion Kross era for NXT. Hope he does not get injured this time and they're able to go through with this.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you enjoy the rest of the show?
Yeah, it was fine. It was good. You know, we had a tag team match between MSK defeating Drake Maverick and Killian Dane to retain the titles. Lee pins Maverick to retain the title. Let's see. MSK was booed here, even though they're supposed to be baby faces, which I thought was weird.
Yeah.
Why did they do that?
I don't know. There was a few, there was the live crowd because we heard... We heard chants later on in the night, you know. That's a good question. I feel like people just love Drake Maverick at this point. You know,
I think so.
Like a super underdog, and I think that might be it.
Considering he was fired and rehired. And by the way, today's the anniversary of the COVID firings.
Wow, crazy.
1 year ago,
dude.
Yeah, today was the beginning.
So Imperium shows up again. Imperium, I think, is gonna be like the crossover faction now.
Let me see. Imperium. Wow. Hold on. Sorry. I lost this page. The whole thing just crashed on me. Read it, Rich, because I lost the notes. I'm looking at nothing.
So NXT was booed. Alexander Wolf comes out, confronts Killian Dane. Imperium attack, and then Imperium walk up the ramp. So they're kind of establishing, not without Walter, they're kind of establishing Imperium is going to be like the dominant faction now going forward because Undisputed is done. Roddy moved on. He's put his resignation in. So now I think the concentration is going to be on Imperium as the big bads on NXT.
Yeah. I think they're a good tag team. I think this is cool. And I think their tag team division is really heating up. You know, MSK is looking good. I for whatever reason, Dane and Maverick do something for me. It's a bizarre odd couple tag team, which I like. And obviously Imperium is Imperium. They also did a Fallout exclusive footage from NXT from the unsanctioned match where Cole and O'Reilly are like dead. They were fighting at the hospital. They recreated the opening scene of Rocky II.
So good.
Mercedes, and I think that's interesting. They're going to continue with that, obviously. Mercedes Martinez defeated Jesse Kamiya with Robert Stone. I want to say Roger Stone, but that is not the right Stone.
No, that's the Penguin.
Well, that's the Penguin. He really is the Penguin, that man. And then what was the... Okay, so I left the room and I came back. So why was Robert Stone giving money to Martinez? I totally missed that part.
Guess what? I also left the room.
Okay.
And never came back.
And never came back. All right.
Yeah. I got lost on this because it's not that, you know, like everybody does a job, but like I'm personally not big on Robert Stone and Aaliyah. So I kind of just like left. You know?
Okay. All right.
I did the dishes, I think, for like 5 minutes.
Because she defeated NXT Cruiserweight Champion Santos Escobar to win the title.
That's great.
Was surprising. So Kushida pins Escobar to win the title in a really, really great match. And we were talking about this a couple days ago where we were saying, you know, what's next for Kushida?
Yeah.
He's not going to be propelled in a main event picture. I just feel not to take away from anything of his ability. It's just not presented in this manner. But I do feel a title should go on this guy. And you said, you know what? He's been light heavyweight champion and he's been IWGP light heavyweight champion in NJPW. Why don't you put him in that division? That's exactly what they did.
And I thought it was a cool win. It was out of nowhere. My favorite part about that was the visual at the end. It was perfect timing by Kushida's part where he got the belt and then rose out of the smoke at the top of the ramp. I don't know if that was planned or not, but it looked friggin' awesome.
Yeah, and Finn Balor had challenged him.
Finn Balor comes to the back and he's like, I'm the guy, blah, blah, blah. And Kushida and Regal are there. And you got also like strong. It reminded me of Kushida, not Kushida. It reminded me of William Regal and Tajiri.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm like, oh, I kind of want to see this happen again with these two. You know,
I heard he was supposed to come back to Tajiri.
Who, to Tajiri?
Yeah.
Really? I love Tajiri.
I mean, multiple times I heard this, which is weird. You know what was weird about this whole thing, though? So, Jordan Devlin essentially challenges Kushida for the title, right?
Yeah.
But the way he does it is like, hey, listen, I got to go back home because of this whole COVID thing. Mm-hmm. So, I got to go home. I don't know when I'm going to be back, but when I come back, I'm going to challenge you for this title. So,
is that how you read it? Because
That's how I read it. How did you read it?
I read it that he was like, I was gone for a while and now I'm here and I'm going to take what's mine.
Oh, no, I heard like he's going to go back and then like he'll come back at one point. I don't know. Maybe this summer when things are open. And then he went on this rant about Cuomo. He's like, you know, de Blasio and Cuomo, the keep in the city. He became like a New Yorker. I don't know what happened. You didn't have that experience with it?
It was very strange.
Edibles might have kicked at that point for me.
I had the opposite experience with that promo.
No, man, he just all of a sudden the accent just changed and he became like a guy from like Howard Beach. Giuliani from like the 90s. He became a New Yorker from the 90s.
You think if this was like the Attitude Era, they would call Jordan Devlin all head Jordan Devlin?
The all head Jordan. He would come out with a balloon that's his face and like just an inflated head balloon. That's what he would come out with holding it. Or else no. Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher promo. They're targeting MSK for the tag titles, which I really like. I feel like they're going to split this team up. This is the end of this program between the two. Timothy Thatcher, he disappeared for a little bit. I'm into this. I'm into MSK and Ciampa and Thatcher. I think they pair really well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I feel like it's weird to say that Tommaso Ciampa and Thatcher are throwbacks because they're like quote unquote men, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'll equate it to like a Dax from last night, you know, like this is how a man wrestles kind of thing. You know, do you get that vibe?
With Thatcher. Yeah. I've always like I've seen Thatcher wrestle endless amounts of times on the indies. I get why he's appealing. I just didn't see it at all until you went to WWE, to be honest. I think they put that polish on him, and it really
Yeah, dude.
That polish really helped them. You know,
the polish he benefited was either way. Yeah, yeah, straight up.
Yeah. There's a protest happening in our chat room by Bob Rowe. Hashtag free Suncast, because he's in my basement right now. He's demanding help. Nobody help him. He's gonna live there forever.
Do you at least give him like a little coffee cup so he can rattle the gates with?
He just rattles the gates. Yeah, I just feed him hot dogs all day, like 12 hot dogs a day.
So
all
gross.
He eats. All he
so
eats.
Gross. When was the last time you had a hot dog?
You know what's so funny? Just made hot dogs the other day for the kids.
Okay.
And I was like, no. I came home. I came home late. I was like, and I was starving. And they were just sitting on the counter. And I was like, these hot dogs don't look good. And I looked at it and I put it in the bun. I heated it up and I went to go take a bite. And I'm like, ugh. And I just put it down.
Slimy.
It was like dried. You know, and like shriveled up, pruning.
Yeah, no thanks. I only eat if I go to a Met game, I'll have like a Nathan's and maybe at like a barbecue. It's very much like a summertime thing for me. Like
need to go to a Mets game like now.
Yeah, dude, let's get out of here.
They have a game today. I was supposed to go today actually, and I ended up having to go to work today. So I was going to go with Bob, but I'm dying to see some baseball. What else do we have? Raquel Gonzalez promo. Dakota Kai introduced her. Introduced the audience to the new NXT women's champion. She was on the verge of crying. You could tell that she was very happy for Raquel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Gonzalez put over Io as a great champion, which, you know what? I really like that NXT does this a lot. They will, even though, I mean, the heels, baby faces, doesn't matter, they will put over that competitor. Always. So I don't know if this means Io's going to go up. I don't know where she's headed, but I'm interested to see this. So Frankie Monet debuted, and she's like, hey, it's Tuesday, and I'm here to see you. And Raquel threatened to shove her dog somewhere. She was on the verge of like saying something really bad.
I think she should have just went for it.
Yeah, she should have just gone for it. And then Frankie leaves. So I'm interested to see how this plays out. Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair also came out to celebrate Raquel. Obviously, this is Triple H's gloating right here, where these are his projects. They've built these three women into a star position, and here we go. Yeah. You know, when you could really tell when WWE wants to put you over, they put you over really big.
Oh, yeah.
And this says something about Toni Storm. What the hell did she do?
You know, that's a really good question. I feel like she was just a byproduct of being overseas during COVID, much like Jordan Devlin.
I don't know, man. You know, they honestly, when they signed Toni Storm, I would have told you that she would have been the bigger star out of her and Rhea. 130%. I think Rhea obviously has the size and the look and the whole thing, but Toni came off as such a likable babyface.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a time frame on that. You can't be that cutesy gimmick forever. I mean, look at Bayley, right? Bayley, that was our big thing. Like, how do you, when Bayley is no longer able to do a believable childish gimmick, because obviously everybody gets older and it ends up being really silly then, how do you transition that into something else? And I think they did a brilliant job with it. I was still sold on the bad girl Bayley gimmick that, you know, where she's like, no, mom, I'm going to play video games, you know, like one of those. But I like this gimmick a lot. Toni Storm kind of has that same kind of appealing to children, appealing to a younger, it's a cutesy gimmick, you know?
Yeah.
And that was a big concern about how are they going to transition over? They turned her into a heel and she came over. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know why she's losing on openers of takeovers. Really bizarre to me. I mean, that's something I have not gotten an answer, but I mean, I wrote this as a joke to someone this morning. I was like, who the hell did she piss off?
If you want to go deep conspiracy route, it's because she's dating Juice Robinson.
Oh, that's funny. And they hate Juice. I don't know. You know what's amazing? He's one guy that had a much better career post WWE.
Oh, dude. Yeah. He's right? Like a hero in New Japan.
Yeah. He totally different. I mean, good for him. What else do we have on this show? Pete Dunne in a promo says he's looking for a championship. Does this mean US title? Does this mean NXT championship? We'll see. Roderick Strong gives Project Strong gives notice. Regal is in his office, met with Roddy and Marina. Strong handed Regal an envelope. Strong told Regal that he was done with NXT. Where is he going?
SmackDown. I'm telling you, he's going to debut on SmackDown with Marina Shafir, and they're going to have some kind of feud. Who is...
Yeah, a cuckolding angle? Is that what's next for them also?
I would say Apollo is a good choice for Roddy.
All right, that's pretty cool. I would love to see that, actually.
Yeah. That'd be. I think you could have good matches, man. Like, yeah. Like Roddy... I feel like Roddy is... I say this all the time. Roddy could be like a super version of like Dean Malenko if they let him go nuts on the main roster.
Yeah. Listen, the comparison is really, really prominent. I don't know how he'll do on the main roster. I hope they push him well because he's one of the best ones out there. Yeah. Let's see. So we also had Isaiah Swerve Scott defeating Leon Ruff after losing clean. Ruff attacks Swerve backstage.
That was great. That was a great match.
Very good match.
Swerve is awesome, man. The former Shane Strickland, like, he's a big dude. He's getting bigger. His promos are getting better. They're putting a little more money into him. His entrance gear looks good. If it's one thing I got to say about, like, the promos on NXT for the most part, or even, like, Monday Night Raw or, like, some guys on AEW, is I feel like a lot of these younger dudes and women would benefit from taking acting lessons or... just almost emulating characters in different films, right? Because it seems to me like all the promos on NXT for the most part sounded exactly the same. It has the same cadence. It has the same bullet points, you know? Like, and the weird thing about that is, you know, if you're on TV, you have some kind of big personality behind you that got you to where you are, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's just weird. Like, listen, how many people do you know and that I know that we hang out with? Guess what? Everybody talks friggin' differently. Of course, you know, nobody speaks the same. And I feel like that samesy delivery is just, it's sometimes when I listen to it, it takes me out of it.
Yeah. You know, wrestling tends to do that a lot. They like to do that with their promos. Like, listen, the 90s, even though everybody had a different delivery, everybody said the same thing. The fact of the matter is, you know, pillar to post. I do find it interesting when the promo styles differ so well, so differently, where you normally, you're right, NXT, it's interesting to me compared to the main roster. Main roster promos are terrible, atrocious.
I think that's a byproduct of being under such strict TV time sometimes.
Unless you're like, you know, one of the good ones. You're a guy that they love.
You have like a little leeway to go over, you know, but everybody has like this insane, like, all right, you got to look at camera one. You have 33 seconds to get this out, you know, and then like somebody hands you a piece of paper with a change on it. And you're kind of like, you kind of have to like, all right, I can memorize these three lines and let me go out there and do it. So it's a little weird sometimes, you know?
Yeah, it is weird. What else do we have?
We got the main event, Ember Moon, Shotzi Blackheart, Dexter Lumis, Bronson Reed, defeating The Way, everybody, Johnny Gargano, Candice LeRae, Austin Theory, and Indy Hartwell in like a big intergender tag team match. I think that the big angle here was Indy Hartwell trying to get busy. She's trying to get it on. And I kind of like that tweak to her character. I also feel like Johnny Gargano is really coming into this heel persona that much better.
I am not a fan of it. I gotta tell you, not a fan of Johnny Gargano's heel character. I think he's such a great babyface where I can't believe it's too hokey, you know, it's too put on because he's such a nice guy. So I have a very difficult time connecting to that character. That whole way thing, I have a difficult time connecting to it, but that's just me.
I don't mind it. It's funny that you're like, oh, he's such a nice guy. But I'm like, imagine if he was like truly like a piece of shit.
A piece of shit,
like,
yeah.
Like backstage, just the biggest piece of shit.
So NXT did 805,000. I don't know if this is good or bad. I think they did a 0.22 in the demo, which is, they could do better, obviously. Tuesdays are, I think they're on a finite. This will be the average. I think they'll be between 800 and 880 on average. depending on what that match is. Occasionally, you know, if they do like a mega show or like a takeover style show, maybe they'll be in the nines. But I think this is where we're going to sit with NXT for a little bit. I think this is a positive. I see growth for them. I see more opportunity to do some cool stuff when you're not programming against another product. You know, maybe they could go back to how it used to be a little bit.
I don't know if I'm reading into this too much, but I feel like on commentary there was like a dig on the Bullet Club stuff.
What did they say?
The three ladies in the ring with the championships, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, and Raquel Gonzalez. I think Beth Phoenix made the comment, these are truly who run the wrestling business.
Interesting.
And I'm like, huh, oh, that's interesting. I wonder if that's like a dig or like that's just like it says, this is Triple H gloating, you know?
I think it was Triple H gloating more than anything.
But again, that's a weird conspiracy theory in my brain.
Yeah. Before we go into AEW, I want to thank our sponsor this week, and that's Canvas Theory. Great product. Listen, I'm a big fan of wrestling apparel, but I also don't want to wear a wrestling shirt every time. That's kind of so in your face. Listen, I think sometimes I just want to be subtle, and this is awesome. They have a great set of snapbacks inspired from American pro wrestling, Japanese pro wrestling, and obviously Lucha Libre. You could go check it out at canvastheory.com. And if you use the offer code MATMEN, you get a discount. You get 10% off your first purchase with Canvas Theory. Canvastheory.com. Let's talk about AEW. Started off with a bang. Really interesting promo. They came off with a promo to begin a backstage recording, obviously, of the Young Bucks talking about why they did what they did last week. First opening match, big match, and I'm curious how this affects ratings. I like that they start things off with big matches now on AEW. You're not just getting the typical, you know, opening match. You're getting a world title match, a AEW Tag Team Championship, World Tag Team Championships on the line. Young Bucks, Matt and Nick defeated Death Triangle, Pac, and Rey Fénix. Great opener. Lasted about 30 minutes.
So good. So good. Did you enjoy the match?
I did. I very much liked it. It was a really good match.
Everybody looks so good. It, you know, like there's so many takeaways you can make from that match where you look at a guy like Pac and you're like, yo, WWE sat on this dude for so long and did nothing with him.
Do you think they could have done something with him? I mean, not that his own ability, but the way WWE thinks. Do you think they could have ever done something big with him?
I think he was on the way to doing something when he was calling himself like the king of the cruiserweights. You know, like that little personality tweak was awesome. And then all of a sudden, like, blah, you know, like they really could have pushed this guy to the moon. He could have been a contender. He could have been like another Rey Mysterio, I think. You know, the guy's got a personality and he's got a moveset. He looks amazing, you know, but you never know. It could be just that one person in the back who's like, you know, I don't like this guy.
I don't like his ears. And that's it. You're done.
Yeah, like something weird like that. And then, you know, the Bucks have been doing this for so long. Their new heel tweak is good. Rey Fénix has nothing but an upside. You know?
Oh, like big time.
Dude, he's from another planet, man. Like, and I do like how every week this guy comes out and does something completely different and insane, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, listen, it wasn't bad. It was a good opener. It was a really good opener. Yeah. What else do we have here?
We had Jade Cargill having a kind of like a return match with Red Velvet. Great second match. Great outing for these two. They're rookies, right? Like this is Jade Cargill's like third or fourth match, and Red Velvet just got signed to this deal. They look good. They worked their spots very well. It was very entertaining. You know, nice and quick too.
I did not love this match. It was okay. I think that Red Velvet, I think Jade looked okay. I think Red Velvet, to me, I would say she was a little worse than Jade. But I think there's a lot of upside with Jade Cargill. Tremendous.
Oh, absolutely. She looks amazing. I feel like, you know, on entrance alone, I do feel like WWE would look at that replay and be like, ah, we could have totally kept her. You know, because they had her do drills, I think. She had like tryouts and like some kind of thing at the performance center for a while.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened. Maybe it wasn't for her. Listen, it's not for everybody. Anthony Ogogo with the Factory defeated Cole Carter, one with a gut punch. I don't know. What do you think of Anthony Ogogo?
You know what? I think he's a good pick for a rookie. I like his promo style because he's got that like dirty British delivery. Because he's like a British guy, right?
Yeah.
The match was okay. It was fine. You know, like the gut punch is interesting. I feel like whoever the guy he wrestled, Cole Carter, sold it like nobody's business, you know? And I think they're building up, they want to build up the factory as like another faction, you know? Yeah. And we'll see what happens. I know you're not a big fan of QT Marshall.
It doesn't do anything for me. It's fine. It okay. is what it is. Chris Jericho with Sammy Guevara. I was going to say Sammy Callahan. I don't know why. Sammy Guevara defeated Dax Hardwood with Cash Wheeler, special guest enforcer Mike Tyson. This ended up becoming a schmoz at the end where Tyson got involved physically and Jericho inducted him into the inner circle. I'm curious what happens with the Tyson stuff now. Do they lead up to something else with Tyson? They explained that Jericho apologized to Mike Tyson and that's why things are fine now. So at least there's continuity there. You know, they're continuing it. They just didn't forget what happened.
I also like how Tyson took a page out of civilian clothed Kenny Omega and came out with like salmon shorts and yeah. just like a white t-shirt.
I know. Like looking like a normal dude. This was good. I mean, not bad, right?
Hard hitting match, man. I love yeah, it. I enjoyed it. I like the dichotomy of the show. And I do think that there's a lot of stamp of Jericho on this, and he's mentioned this like on his podcast and like several interviews where, you know, AEW sometimes has an issue with like, well, this is the style we're going to wrestle and these are the spots we're going to do. And sometimes there's overlap, you know. I think this was a good example of, okay, you had your 30-minute tag team match. They're doing like a modern style pro wrestling match where nobody sells and everybody's a superhuman. You have your ladies match, right? You're like almost your David and Goliath type match. You have the showcase for the rookie, and then you have a hard hitting wrestling match.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it was, you know, with like the interference and the fights and all that stuff. They got everybody on TV. It was what it was, and I really enjoyed it. And I like that, you know, like, I also think that Cash, either he got jaw-jacked a bit or he sold it very well.
He sold it really well, yeah.
Looked brutal. That punch from Tyson looked brutal.
Yeah, because listen, Tyson knows not to hit you, but if he slips, because he's going in, you know, if he slips, you're getting hurt. Chris Stratlander.
One more thing about Tyson.
Yeah.
Also, like, he's not throwing a worked punch, you know, like he's still 54 years old. This dude is still super, super fast. And it's almost like they're probably telling him like, if you punch me, you punch me. That's it. You know?
Yeah. Very good. Chris Stratlander's back in action, defeated Amber Nova. She looked great. She looked really in shape. The boop thing is a little much. It's part of her thing. You're not a fan of it. I know.
I'm okay with it. I just think like it's one of those character tweaks that needs to go, you know?
Yeah.
If it's backstage, fine, but like it's too many. Like in the ring, for me, for my money.
Not great. You didn't care. You don't care for it. Yeah. She looked good. She was out for a long time too with the injury. Mm. It was a significant injury. So good to see her back. Main event, TNT Championship, Darby Allin defeated Matt Hardy in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Matt worked super freaking hard here. He worked his ass off. I mean, this match was designed for Matt Hardy to kind of brawl and do whatever he's doing. Want to get your thoughts on this.
Dude, love the match. Darby Allin is such an interesting character. He's very enigmatic and like, you know, there's a mystery about him, which is good. At one point during the match, I was like, holy shit, Matt Hardy's like 25 again. Like, look at him go, you know, it looked like a switch got flipped and he was like, oh, this is how I made my bread and butter. And then I think at that point he really started like potatoing Darby Allin. At least that's what it looked like, you know.
Guys, before we continue, submit your questions in the chat. We're going to do our best to answer them in our Q&A segment. You know, there is some criticism here. Maybe the ending was a little too convoluted. There was a lot of involvement. Sting got involved, Private Party, and a whole bunch of other people.
Sting didn't look like he knew what to do, to be honest with you.
He was like, okay, what am I doing? Where am I going?
A little confused.
Just looking to the left and right. All right, and that's how it went off. I mean, exciting, hard-hitting. Darby Allin's still the TNT champion. Mm-hmm. People are very into Darby Allin. I had a chance to talk to one of my friends. He's not a wrestling fan, but his son is a wrestling fan now, and he's young. He's like 14 years old. Freaking loves Darby Allin.
How did you feel about them? Do you like Darby Allin?
I'm okay with him.
You're okay with him. I feel like sometimes he's not your cup of tea.
Sometimes he's not. I have a very difficult time when there's a size issue, discrepancy here. You know what I mean?
Okay. I thought you hate Dirty Punk Skater Kids.
Oh, I hate Dirty Punk Skater Kids. No, here's my issue. Like, I could get behind Daniel Bryan, right? Fighting Brock Lesnar and possibly winning. Like, that's the smallest I could get behind.
Okay. Okay.
I have a very difficult time getting behind Darby Allin being able to defeat a guy like Brian Cage.
Well, what about like Adam Cole, man? They're probably the same height.
No. Darby's smaller, no?
You think so?
I think so.
I feel like they're about the same height, dude.
I don't know. We'll see when Adam Cole goes to the main roster and he has to fight guys like, you know, Braun Strowman.
I got a question for you about the end of AEW.
Yeah.
Did you feel like they were going to open the limo and somebody was going to pop out?
I did think that.
Right. Like, that promo was excellent, by the way, at the end. And I love how the Young Bucks dressed like two jerk-off Shawn Michaelses. With like the backwards like leather like Kango hat, and you know, like Kenny talking smack, and Don Callis super kicking the cameraman.
So great. Can I ask you this? So yeah. I'm gonna ask you this now. You know, last week I was critical of the ending of I was gonna say Nitro. Jesus, I was very critical of the ending of Nitro last week. I compared this to like a 1999 wrestling ending in Nitro, where you have two people having a match, beating the crap out of each other, and immediately at the end they just forget about the fact that they just beat the shit out of each other for 20 minutes and now they hug. I hate when they do that immediately. Like, I'm fine with, you know, doing the tease, maybe they don't touch, you know, and then you're like, oh yeah, they never touched each other in the match. I have an issue with that. Darby's built at 5'8", Cole's built at 6 foot. There's no way Cole is 6 feet tall. I'm just putting it out there. I don't like when they do it that close. And the whole match, you know, for weeks, they were leading up to Darby. Like, they were not alluding that the Young Bucks are conflicted in any way. They hate Don Callis. And they teamed up. They hate the Gallows and Anderson, because Gallows and Anderson have been dicks to them. Kenny has kind of separated himself from them. So all of a sudden, what the hell happens? You form the team.
You know what? I'm cool with it. It's very convoluted. Do you think they're gonna start calling themselves like the Bullied Club?
The Bullied,
like Bullied Club and the Elite.
I think they're still probably gonna turn on them, you know?
Oh yeah.
Something is gonna happen. I thought we would see it this week, where maybe Gallows and Anderson almost cost them the match and you could kind of continue that weird thing between them, but I don't know. I'm very curious what other people felt about this, because I haven't seen that much criticism of it. So maybe this is just my own opinion, and that's fine. It'll stay in my head. I really haven't gotten a good sense of what people thought. It seems like everybody's kind of jumped over that whole hurdle, and now we're into, they're back together. This is pretty cool.
I think so, too. I believe it was Matt Jackson in an interview this past week was questioned about the number of factions in AEW. And we've talked about this last week too, you know, and I think having them as a group solidifies that faction, right? And there's a million factions on AEW television. I believe what Matt said was, listen, New Japan's been doing this for 40 years and it works. It's a way to get everybody on camera. North American fans aren't used to it, but the factions are pretty much here to stay.
Yeah, there has to be a balance. I get it. There has to be a balance. I'm fine with the factions. What I don't like is that it's very crowded. Like, they're always out. You know what I mean? So, like, they are able to use the possibility of run-ins and interferences way more. And I don't necessarily feel like that's a good thing, to use that so often. Like, the schmoz at the end with the whole, you know, pull apart in a brawl between two factions. They tend to go to that a lot. That's my criticism of factions.
All right. I could see that, especially like last night's AEW show was loaded with your factions, right? Like everybody made an appearance at some point. Now, Hangman and the Dark Order. We skipped over the Taz trying to recruit Christian Cage thing, which I thought which I thought was more funny than serious, you know? And Christian Cage got laid out by Will Hobbs. So that's going to be a cool match that we're going to see. But I believe the show went to commercial with Hobbs standing over Christian Cage with Hook in the background and Taz in the background, you know? So like, there's your schmoz faction.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy's, what's Matt Hardy's guys called? The HFO or something like that. The Hardy Foundation.
I guess.
So you have like Butcher and Blade came out. I loved how Butcher wailed that trash can at Darby, by the way. It looked like he was waiting to do that like all day. I was like, damn, this looks like fun.
All right.
Yeah, we got about 20 minutes, by the
way. Okay, good. All right, let's do Q&As, boys and girls. Submit your questions in the chat, and we'll do our best to answer. And we also have some other notes here. Raw ratings, they did 2.026, up from 1.7 million. Obviously, it was going to be up because it's a night after WrestleMania, night after WrestleMania. And a lot of people expect there to be a big debut or a surprise or a hot angle. They did absolutely none of that, and it just sucked. I would like to meet the person that thinks it was a great show, because you know there has to be one out there that somebody thinks this is the Hardy Family Office. That's what it's called.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'm curious who that person is and what you enjoyed, because there was nothing enjoyable about that show except for how dumb Matt Riddle is now.
Oh, he's on the team, bro.
Team Dummy. Dummy Squad, man. He's on it. We decided, who else were you putting in there?
Oh, that, yeah. This is the first thing I texted Andrew this morning, too. I was like, I got who fills out the Dummy Squad. So it's Braun Strowman going backstage and going, who wants to join my team of dumbasses? Matt Riddle, number one. All right. What about you, Mace? Oh, yeah, you're down for the Dummy Squad. What about
Are you putting Mace in there?
Mace, what about you, T-Bar? We'll call you Face and T. This is my A-team of assholes and dummies.
I love it.
Nitwits. What did Archie call Edith on All in the Family?
I can't say that on the air.
No. It was something close. Dingbat.
Dingbat, yeah. Dingbat. Archie Bunker from Astoria, Queens. John Moxley also had a wild week. He got turned on by the Young Bucks last week. He lost at Bloodsport against Josh Barnett, which was really good. And then he challenged Nick Cage at the end of spring break on Friday. And also, Yuji Nagata has accepted his challenge for the IWGP US title.
Busy guy. Busy, busy,
busy
guy.
Busy, busy guy. All right. Q&A time, boys and girls. What do we have?
All right, we got Corey Richmond saying, why is AEW not promoting the Impact pay-per-view with Omega versus Swan on April 25th, right around the corner? And what are your thoughts on Ivelisse's release? Let's try to say that three times fast from AEW.
Maybe they'll promote it this week on TV. I don't know. I mean, do you want to... It's weird, right? They got an open work relationship, obviously. Mm-hmm. But do you want to start promoting a pay-per-view that, you know, every week? I think we'll see that this week. Obviously, there has to be some line put together here where it's not just let's promote Impact every single week on TV. I think there's more promotion on the Impact side for AEW than there is on the AEW side. But we'll see what happens with this. I believe it's April 24th. So this is going to be interesting for Kenny Omega on how this plays out, because if he wins that Impact Championship, you know, you're beginning this belt collector thing. He still has the AAA title, right?
Yeah, I think he's still the mega champion.
He's not coming out with it, which I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Curious about
maybe
that.
Let's maybe wait until he... Do you think he's going to beat Rich Swann and take that championship? He's going to stand tall at Impact?
I think so. I think that's a good move. I think that does something to it, because now he, you know, he could hold on to those titles for a while and then finally lose it to somebody, you know, and start losing all those titles. You could start with Impact, and it'll put some good heat on the guy that beats him. Ivelisse getting released. Not surprised. Are you?
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. I feel like it was bound to happen after that whole flub with Thunder Rosa on national television, you know?
Yeah, that,
like,
was not good.
No-selling and all that stuff. Who knows, man? Like, obviously there's two sides to every story, but according to Ivelisse and her social media accounts, she's saying it's not her fault. It's backstage politics.
But she's had a problem in every locker room that she's ever worked in. So
exactly. But she's also said it's all because of backstage politics.
Yeah. It's backstage politics. I mean, she obviously has a she's a difficult person to work with. Seems that way.
Yeah. Tim Anger asks, will Cole move up anytime soon? And will Roddy and Cole get buried after a few months?
I don't know. It makes me nervous because these guys are so good and they tend to flub guys that are that good. Unless you're this gigantic thing. By the way, Vince has totally gone back to his trope of giants.
Big boys, baby.
Big boys. That's his thing now. That's what we're going to see more of. There's obviously a direct direction this company is going, because if you look at all their champions and you look at what it looks like, these are giants, and who they're bringing in, these are giants. I think the days of the smaller guy being a top guy in this company are slowly getting pushed back a little bit. Not saying it's going to go away. Pure talent always works, but they're going with size again. They're so headed bizarre, that way.
They love flip-flopping on that, you know?
It's been a couple of years, so they haven't done it. So now they have an opportunity. They signed a lot of big guys. Omos, great example of a giant.
Bobby Lashley,
Drew, Roman's a big dude. Randy's a big dude. I mean, you're seeing all these guys where what do you do? Brock Lesnar when he comes back?
Dabakoto.
Who? Dabakoto. Yeah, Dabakoto. He's a big dude too. So
Martinez.
Big guy.
Yeah, big dude.
So they're going with size again, and that's fine. But how will this play out for a guy like Roddy or Cole? It's a little, I don't know. It concerns me a little bit when you see that as a direction. But these guys are pure talents. No matter what they do, they'll be great at it.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
Do you think the transition going back to big dudes is because they see the writing on the wall with live shows and they're like, well, if we're going to do live shows again, we need the spectacle of giant men?
So in the past, when I've asked about this, I was told that like, their focus is always big guys, always. But they've said that, you know, the big issue that they face with getting guys over, like a big guy, is that everybody works like a smaller guy now. Even your big guys are doing stuff that you would never see. So it there's no separation. Like a Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is not a small guy. You know, he's heavier. Yeah. He's at least 6 feet tall. But this guy's wrestling like a cruiserweight. With swantons and cannonballs and planchas and dives. I mean, this guy wrestles like he's 180 pounds. So when you have that happen and big guys are doing it, it kind of takes away from the smaller guys and what makes them special, because they're smaller, so they're more agile. But Seth Rollins, he is not a small guy whatsoever. And this guy wrestles.
Perfect example.
He's 200 and something pounds. He's over 6 feet tall.
Big.
He's tall. How tall is Seth Rollins? Let's see.
I want to say like 6'2", 6'3". He's wide up top. You know, he's got like that Dorito body, like big shoulders, like thin legs.
He is 6'1". He's billed as 6'1". So I don't know how accurate that is. By the way, Roman Reigns is 6'3". John Moxley is 6'2". So you have guys that are all 6 feet tall. So, he's 217, 6'1", according to, I guess, IMDb. So fluctuates up and down, obviously. But, you know, normally he would have been, what's funny is that he would have been a cruiserweight 20 years ago. He would have
Isn't
been too
insane?
Small 20 years ago. So we've kind of changed the bar, but I think that what they're trying to do now is separate these bigger guys from the smaller guys in actual, you know, large size rather than it being like a little taller.
Gang Cross, another big dude.
How tall is he? 6'3", 6'4"?
6'4", maybe. I think he's 6'4". Fascinating.
Let's see. Let's 6'4". Yeah, 6 feet four.
And don't forget Braun, captain of the dummy squad.
Braun Strowman, captain of the dummies.
9 feet tall.
9 feet tall. Yeah. Any other questions?
Yes. We can take a few more here.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on NXT's new logo? Do you think Rich, this is a stacked one. We'll do this bit by bit. This is from Rated C. What are your thoughts on NXT's new logo?
With the wings?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what the hell it is. What is that? The skull and the wings?
I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with it too, but why? What is it? What does it mean?
I need a change. Moving to Tuesdays, you got to put a little polish on that old car, okay. You know? Right. Any chance of seeing Rich Swann popping up in AEW?
Rich Swann? I would like that. Why not?
I'd like that too. Yeah.
He's a champion, right? Him and Kenny have a match.
He could, you know, like that Wednesday before that pay-per-view, that's the prime time for Rich Swann to show up, right?
Yeah, big time.
How is Raw a three-hour show with a stacked roster, but mostly only use some of them for main event and nobody's booked well?
Because it's Raw.
Yeah, good answer.
Because it's Raw. I think it's so abysmal, their booking. So it's really abysmal. It bothers me because it's unbelievable talent on that card, and it's all over the freaking place.
Do you think that's because Abyss is backstage handling the booking?
Abyss, the character, yeah.
It's Abyss, the man. He's like, I'm going to make this abysmal.
Abysmal. Everything is abysmal.
Chris Farrell, do you think Hangman versus Kenny is the next move for the AEW title, or will they hold off pulling the trigger a bit longer?
I would hold off, no?
Yeah, totally hold off, dude. Totally hold off.
You know, Kenny's nobody doing his ever, own thing. Nobody ever challenges again for the title. You know, Jon Moxley is the first one that had a secondary title shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had... interesting to me.
Kenny's being very protected right now, right?
He should be.
Yeah.
Because they flubbed him for a while.
It's a good thing, I think. You know, and like, again, with that promo at the end of the night where they were like, well, we're the characters you wanted, so if you don't like it, that's on you.
Yeah.
Ronnie H. asks, what do you think the numbers will be for NXT this week and AEW staying the course on Wednesday? Well, we got the NXT number.
It's 805 for NXT. That the AEW thing is very interesting. I saw some people like, oh, it's gonna get over a million guaranteed. I'm like, guys, let's be realistic.
Yeah, let's be real.
I don't think they're gonna be at a million. You know what? It would be great if they're at a million every week for them. That'd be phenomenal. I think we're looking at more like the 800s to the 900s. You know, if AEW is doing low eights, they'll do high eights. This week, you know what? We're a couple hours away from it being released, so probably by the time you hear this, the numbers are going to be out. I'm going to guess 920.
Okay.
Right? I mean, it would be freaking great if they hit over a million. Somebody made a joke in the chat, like, what, AEW is going to do 1.3 million? I'm like, no, AEW's. I mean, that if they do, that's I would be shocked. Be really shocked.
I'm going to say 986, like this close.
986? All right.
Yeah, no, that's my number.
They're over a million with DVR, like plus, you know, for the week. If you add all their digital streaming, you know, services, and you add all everything else, DVR, they're around 1.2, 1.3 million weekly. That's not bad at all. I'll take that.
All right, we got a couple more here, and then we're going to get out of here. I know you got to get out and go to work. Bob asks, outside of Treehouse Vince, who has the best pecs in the Mattman family?
It's Deacon. Has to be Deacon.
Okay. All right.
You want Mr. Gonzo?
I'm thinking Mr. Gonzo. He's all pec. That's all he works out.
Yeah.
He uses the electrodes on his chest and just like juices himself up for 7 hours a day.
Yeah.
Let's see. Last one. I'm going to see if I can get this name right. Actually, Boon Chaya Vidislip. I hope I got that right.
It's Ukrainian.
When do you think Keith Lee will come back?
Couple weeks. Imagine they give him some bozo gimmick and he ends up in the dummy squad.
Oh, no. I don't think if Braun was trying to recruit Keith Lee, he would turn around and be like, sir, I'm not a dummy.
Oh, God.
And then Braun would be like, all right, fair enough. Where's Mojo Rowley?
Rowley. You know what? I got a gimmick for Keith Lee. Keith Lee is a very intelligent guy in real life, the real human being, right? Absolutely. And the character, too. He has intelligence. What if it's almost like a Twilight Zone type scenario? where he's the smartest man in the company, but everybody thinks he's an idiot. Like they think he's so stupid, like almost like the pig faces, you know, So he, you know, he'll have all these facts and people are looking at him like, oh my God, he's so stupid. He knows nothing.
He's just making all this shit up.
Yeah, no, like he's like, well, you know, he'll state like some crazy fact and they'll be like, oh my God, he's so dumb, this guy. You know how you believe him? That's the gimmick they're going to give him.
I like it. Ryback, I'm calling you out. I need you on my team. I got to make some phone calls. And he just picks up a banana.
Oh, Ryback's in the dummy squad. No, they both, you know what it is? Both holding up the phone with a cord. It's not connected anywhere.
Well, and then he goes, hang on, I got to take another call. And it's just a shoe.
Love it. All right, guys, that's it for this week. Let's wrap it up. For all things Rich, BTC 2.0 is back, drops every Saturday. Mattman Podcast, we've been doing this 2 days a week. Let's see if we'll do this again this week. Maybe 2 days a week. We'll figure something out. The show will be posted everywhere podcasts are available. I'm very tired today. I'm headed into work now. I got about 10 minutes. I got to make it to the train. So, you know what? That's it for this week. See you later.
Peace.